Ah, very good. So I wanted to do a few things today. I wanted us to go back to Genesis 22 and look at what we were looked at briefly yesterday, last week. And I want us to consider that we have been looking at John 8:39, who, if you are Abraham's child, according to the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will do the works of Abraham. And we've looked at some of the works of Abraham. We've looked at the works of Abraham in bringing the sacrifice and honouring the sacrifice and keeping it pure. The works of Abraham being a participant in the covenant that God made with God. And Abraham not working. Abraham was asleep when God made that covenant. And I want us to consider, and I'd love for you to spend some time, if you can, to go back to Genesis and just read those chapters about Abraham. It doesn't take so long, and it's the most remarkable story. It's the most remarkable gift from God. Do you realise that there are 230 verses in the scriptures that speak of Abraham? And all of them are talking about Abraham and his relationship with God. And Abraham is mentioned, I'll just list the books that he's mentioned in, and it's quite remarkable, isn't it? That's why these foundational activities of God and these promises that the Lord Jesus Christ makes are so fundamentally important. Abraham is mentioned in Genesis, of course, in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Nehemiah, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah. And then in the New Testament, all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians speaks a lot of him, Hebrews, James and 1 Peter. Abraham is the father of the faithful. And so Abraham's walk of faith and Abraham's walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is a picture in so many ways of the walk of all of his faith children. We're told to look to Abraham, our father. Look to Abraham, our father. All of God's children are the faith children of God. Abraham simply believed God. As I've been studying Abraham and writing about it and looking at it and thinking about what sort of messages to bring to you regarding Abraham, I'm continually struck by the fact that he just had a childlike faith, didn't he? Abraham, leave your family, leave all your relations, leave all your religion, leave your land, and like a child, when Dad says, come, let's go, the child says, where? And Dad says, well, I'll show you where to go. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. He didn't know where he was going. He just had a voice and a word and a presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he followed him. He followed him. Abraham is just such a glorious picture. And last week we looked at Genesis chapter 22 in terms of worship. I just wanted to read the last few verses. You know the story that God came to Abraham and called him and said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, verse 2 of Genesis 22, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now that mountain, there's no doubt at all that that mountain is the mountain upon which the temple was built. That mountain was the mountain upon which David bought Araunah's threshing floor. And on Araunah's threshing floor, that plague that had come upon Israel was stayed. The plague was stayed. It is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed. All of these are pictures in the Old Testament. And we look at what it was for Abraham to worship God. Abraham got up early in the morning. I'm sure he didn't tell Sarah what he was doing. This was between him and God, and Isaac didn't know all what was to happen. It's very obvious later on, isn't it? Verse 4, and then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. Now listen to this. Listen, he's been told to take his son, his only son Isaac, and you take him up onto that mountain, I'll show you, and you have the fire and you have the knife and you plunge that knife into the heart of Isaac, your son. Listen to what Abraham says. You stay here, you men. This is a transaction between God the Father and God the Son. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and I and the lad will come again unto you. Abraham's faith is a challenge, brothers and sisters. It's a remarkable example, isn't it? But it's a challenge, isn't it, to my faith? It's a challenge to how faithful our God is. We'll come again. He and I are going up that mountain, and this is going to happen. And Hebrews 11, which we'll look at later on, Hebrews 11 says, as far as Abraham is concerned, Isaac was killed and Isaac was resurrected from the dead. And this is all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to contemplate what it is to believe, what faith is. Faith has an object, but faith also is based on promises that God had made. And God had made promises about Isaac, that in Isaac all of the nations of the world will be blessed. In Isaac, Isaac will be the one that brings so many seed to Abraham that you can come outside and have a look at the stars, Abraham, and that's how many children you're going to have. The victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his faithfulness is an immense victory, brothers and sisters. It doesn't seem so to us now, but Abraham looked and he just believed God. He believed God, and God put that on his account for righteousness. And we know human examples of it, don't we? If we are honest people, and we say something and make a promise, we expect people to believe it. And if they don't believe it, they're saying something in their unbelief about our character, aren't they? And so we have Abraham worshipping God for who God is, worshipping God on the basis of what God had said. He simply trusted God. And Isaac, Abraham, verse 6, took the wood and of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and his knife. It's a great picture of the fire of God's wrath falling upon the Lord Jesus Christ because of all the sin that was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. And they went both of them together, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? That's the best question you can ever ask of any sermon you've ever listened to, any sermon you ever prepare, isn't it? Where's the lamb? The lamb needs to be at the beginning of it. The lamb needs to be in every sentence of it. The lamb needs to be the object of it. The lamb needs to be the rejoicing of it. Where is the lamb? Abraham's answer is glorious, isn't it? It is so glorious. This is what faith answers. This is the works of Abraham, faith. Abraham, my son, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Listen to the words carefully, brothers and sisters. God will provide himself a lamb. Only a lamb of God's providing is going to satisfy the justice and the righteousness and the holiness of God. And so this is just a glorious picture of what happened on that same mountain 1,700 years after these events. So they both went up together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the altar in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isn't it remarkable? Isaac was at least a late teenager, and some people say he was 30 years old at this time. You try and bind. If I tried to bind any of you, if I tried to bind Ben or some of these people, I wouldn't have a hope, would I? Abraham and Isaac were submissive in all of this. And the Lord Jesus Christ was bound to the altar of sacrifice. He was bound to the altar of sacrifice because of the covenant promises he made before the foundation of the world. He was bound to that altar because of his love and his union with his bride. He was bound to that altar because of the glory of his Father was at stake in him and his sacrifice. God is glorified in the salvation of his people. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, faith and worship is all tied up with a reverential awe for who God is, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thickets. Any time you ever look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can always look behind. You can always look behind. He's always there. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was the lamb that Noah, in representation, sacrificed after that flood. That lamb was in the ark, wasn't it? The lamb protected, the blood of the lamb sealed that ark. And the ark rose above all of the cursing of God. And it was the highest thing on this earth, and it was a place of safety for all humanity. All humanity bound up in Noah, all of the saints of God. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. Moses is writing hundreds and hundreds of years later, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God will provide. God will provide himself for a lamb. Abraham's faithfulness is a remarkable faithfulness. It's the promised faith that God works in the hearts of his people. It's a faith that causes God's people to simply take God at his word. He doesn't say that we have to understand. We have to believe. Believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anything that is not of faith, says Romans 14, is of sin. And this faith, before we think that it's all about us, this faith is the gift of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We know the words well. Ephesians chapter 2 is a wonderfully accurate description of all of humanity trapped in this world, bound to Satan, that spirit, verse 2, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children, the children of wrath, even as others. You were no different from anyone else, brothers and sisters. It was only God who makes a difference, even as others. And this is one of the glorious, most glorious phrases in the scripture. But God, that's what you were, but God. Who began all of this? But God. How did Abraham get to be in that place? But God came to Ur of the Chaldees and called Abraham by his name and called him out of there. And Abraham was given the faith to simply believe God and go with him. But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead. So people think people are alive, don't they? And people talk about free will. What's God say? Dead. If you just have a problem with your will, then you have some life and you can exercise that will. If you are dead, you need a saviour. You need life from above. The problem's not education, the problem's not instruction, the problem is life itself, isn't it? When you were dead, hath quickened, made us alive. But listen to this alive, isn't it? When Abraham went down from that mountain, he was rejoicing in the faithfulness of God, wasn't he? He's quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. When Christ was raised from the dead, all of God's children were raised from the dead. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven's glories and sat down at the right hand of God in heaven, we ascended with him. We simply, this is what God says, isn't it? Abraham had a childlike faith in all these words that I'm saying now. Abraham saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw his day. This is speaking about the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? That glorious day of his crucifixion, the glorious day of his resurrection, the glorious day of his exaltation, the glorious day of the promise of his coming back again to gather all his people to himself. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Doesn't say by grace he offers salvation or he tries to save. By grace you are saved. Every one of God's children was saved from before the foundation of the world. They were saved by the electing purpose of God. They were saved in the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary's tree. They are being saved. They are saved when the gospel comes to them with power and they have new birth, a new life to be able to see and rejoice in who God is and to know that their sins have been dealt with perfectly and completely. And one day we're going to be properly saved completely, aren't we, brothers and sisters? We'll be saved from this flesh and we'll be saved from this world and we'll be saved from Satan and we'll be saved from all the deceitfulness of our own wicked hearts and this world that we live in, and we will go to a place which God calls the home of the righteous. The home of the righteous. And what's he done? By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Abraham did. Abraham did. When he went up to Mount Moriah, this is what he was believing, resurrection, wasn't he? He was believing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was believing in the resurrection of Isaac. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And as you grow through Abraham's life, you realise the exceeding riches of the grace of God in his life all the way through. Abraham is no different to us, brothers and sisters. It's God who makes a difference and God who raised him to be this wonderful example for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And people will say, well, is it the grace that's not of yourselves or the faith not of yourselves? Yes, it's both. It's both, isn't it? Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are, all of God's children, are his workmanship. That means masterpiece. He's not making any mistake, brothers and sisters, with anything he does in all the hearts of his people. He works all things together for the good of those who are the called, the ones loved of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now just go down to verse 19 with me. I want us to look at Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith is the faith that God promises is going to be the faith of all of the children of God. We'll walk in the works of Abraham. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. That's what Abraham, we'll look at that in Hebrews 11 later on, but Abraham saw himself as a stranger and a foreigner in this world, and so do all the children of God. This is not home. This is not our home. We're from heaven. Heaven is our home. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's just a wonderful description of church, brothers and sisters. That's just a wonderful description of church, isn't it? We're being knitted together with him. If you go back while you're there, verse 13, we talked about strangers and outcasts in this world, foreigners to this world. We're foreign to them, aren't we? Abraham was foreign to that world. We're foreign to this world. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. How does he knit his people together? If the Lord Jesus Christ has taken away all of your sins and he dwells in you, his blood has done a work in you. And if he's done that work in me, then we have no reason not to have fellowship. We have every reason to look upon our brothers and sisters with love and delight. And we have the works of Abraham to do, isn't it? So what encourages you most in this world? For the children of God, it's hearing about God's work in the hearts of his people, isn't it? It's hearing about faith in action and faith in reality. And that's what we see in Abraham's life, isn't it? Abraham really did believe. Abraham really did act on that faith. It's all the work of God. But when we encounter God-given faith in the midst of circumstances where the mountains are too high and the rivers are too deep and the way forward is too hard and we can see no way, and we can say to our brothers and sisters as Moses did at the Red Sea, stand still, stand still on that rock, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. May God grant us that faith. Let's just have a quick break.